couple items in this region that I wanted to get somebody's opinion on with the ACLU. You're talking about your right to go before your commission here in Fargo and speak your mind and have some comments on it. They've been debating whether or not they're going to maintain what they currently have or change it up is number one. But number two, and I would say this is the news of the day. It's certainly the thing that's got you a buzz in the text club at 35270. Is a report that came out from Tasha Carvel that North Dakota shows most support for Christian nationalism in the United States, is what a new study finds. And again, I said, you know what? I want to find out the opinions of the ACLU of North Dakota. To do that is Cody Schuler, the main man over at the ACLU, and he joins us right here in the KFJO studio. Welcome back, Cody. How you been?
Hey, good. It's nice to be here in the studio instead of on the phone.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And you've been down south. On the South Dakota side as well. You've been busy, haven't you?
Yeah. I had some meetings around the region most recently. So
because it's are you with both North and South Dakota ACLU?
Yeah, we as a chapter, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming. We share some staff and administration and also try to share resources as well as with our national ACLU network.
Makes sense. I just knew that once upon a time that this was all kind of working together, but I didn't know because things change over time. So now we all know. Well, welcome back to KFGO. There's a lot to undertake here, and I'm not even sure which one to begin with. I think I want to start with the news of the day. Let's start there with the Christian nationalism report that comes out. And this report that was conducted by a Public Religion Research Institute found that more than two-thirds of Americans are either skeptical or reject Christian nationalism, but half of the North Dakotans polled say that they're supporters or adherents to it. I'm curious first, the ACLU and your reaction about just Christian nationalism and how it works as far as the actual government side of it. Mm-hmm. Those that utilize their elected office to maybe push that agenda. Mm-hmm. Your reaction to that first.
Well, I think, first of all, when we all saw this report floating around on social media recently, it was intriguing to us. And so, when Tasha called and wanted to visit about it in particular, it was I was glad to see some local exposure getting it, because it was pretty much only on national outlets that I was noticing it. But what is interesting, I think, is that the actual survey that was done asked people about the principles of white nationalism Christian nationalism. And they were not necessarily saying, are you a Christian nationalist? So there's a little bit of a difference there, because I think if somebody was asked that question, they would say no, even if they are espousing those beliefs. And I would say that we see a fair amount, in the legislative process, in talking to folks out and about at the ACLU, we hear a lot of folks that would agree with those principles. So the survey wasn't shocking to me. But it's sort of an interesting sort of angle to think about it as to how people would identify versus what they say they believe.
I think that's an appropriate way to start this, though, because I was just talking about a poll that was done from a candidate that wants to be the next governor of North Dakota that was very slanted, very leading questions, and trying to drum up the answers in a poll that they wanted the answers to come out in that way. And not saying, hey, do I identify as... Instead, I have some of the comments. The U.S. government should declare America a Christian nation. U.S. laws should be based on Christian values. If the U.S. moves away from Christian foundations, we will not have a country anymore. Those type of things that North Dakotans, at least half of them, say, yep, absolutely, this is what I back. So the difference being identifying and self being self-aware, maybe?
Yeah.
Or saying, I believe this, but I won't necessarily vote for just a candidate based upon that. There is a silver lining there, albeit you have to look quite hard to find it, I would say.
Yeah, I don't know that it really matters whether someone's willing to wear the badge of Christian nationalism or whether they're espousing those values, or holding those values dear. I think that that's a fine line, because the end result is, how are people voting? Who are the candidates they're selecting? How are legislators or elected officials at city, county levels, how are they voting? What are they putting into practice?
Well, and to that extent, it seems more and more upfront that the candidates and lawmakers are using that, taking that flag and running with it. I mean, you can think about You know, Yana Myrdal's drive from northeast North Dakota and what she's been, even before she was a candidate, even before she was elected, very well known in the chambers out in Bismarck because of the certain issues that she bring up. You see even now younger Republicans, and it's mostly Republicans, that are being more upfront on their social media about, well, everybody should know this, that, and the other thing about Christianity. And where's the line drawn there? And when for the ACLU?
Oh, well, the in the Constitution, we have a protection that there will be no establishment of religion, but then there is also the freedom to express and practice one's religion. And really the line is where the freedom of expression and practice of religion is then used to violate that establishment clause. That would be, you know, and that's kind of where we're at right now, is that this is a free country. I can believe and think what I want. I can practice the religion that I want. But then putting those values into law in such a way that then govern against others. We see those in the culture war debates all the time. I mean, we saw during this last legislative session, we had a member of the House stand up and speak about how not every person believes that life begins at conception, and named Native American, Jewish, Islam, you know, Muslim. Like these are religions and practices deeply held to people that hold one thing, and even not all Christians may agree upon when life begins. And yet there were other statements by those espousing a particular Christian belief, basically in the way it was being espoused, that belief would be superior to those other ones. And we saw them right back to back in floor debate. We saw it in committee time and time again, especially around anti-LGBT issues, where I sat in committees. I testified on bills where we stated the potential unconstitutionality of bills. We said, you know, this restroom ban violates Title IX. We named those things. And then on the flip side, the only support that was expressed was literally only evangelical Christian values and beliefs. Now, I respect those who hold those beliefs. However, that's not how we make laws. That's not going to stand up in court. But yet that is what was swaying the day, you know, in the committee hearing that day and ultimately in the chamber.
So, I mean, to boil it down, to dumb it down for someone like myself, it seems like that there's a personal belief that outweighs the constitutional rights. And I mean, between these individuals, what I can boil it down to. And it seems at times that there's an arrogance that follows along with that. That's my opinion. Saying that, I mean, that, well, your beliefs are completely wrong. And here's how I've been enlightened. And how dare you basically allude to other beliefs that don't adhere to mine, because, you know what, this country is founded on my beliefs. I don't know how you combat that. You know, when it's so tightly held from that individual that they wear it more on their sleeve, that they're more proud of it now. And in fact, I mean, I was going to get into some of the speakers that are being invited into a political convention based on their beliefs versus, you know, what I would say, you know, accomplishments, whatever it might be. I don't know how you slow that momentum down, especially when you have this type of result that you say didn't surprise you, but there's going to be more people saying, okay, it's more accepted now. What do you do as an organization to push back on some of that? Anything?
Well, I think education is key. And that's one of the things that I really struggle with, is I'm not sure how, because when we, you know, I'm a history nerd. So, you know, just kind of, I have read extensively. I've looked into the quote unquote founding of the United States as a Christian nation. And when we really get into it, in the name of religious freedom, escaping a state church in the founding of our country, in the religious beliefs of the founding fathers and mothers and all those who were present, you know, yes, there was still a Judeo-Christian ethic that was definitely there, but there was also great lengths taken to make sure that the words Christian, no particular denomination, et cetera, were in the Constitution. And so you can have that debate all you want, but then at the same time, I can also, you know, go on the internet and or just stroll social media and see those who would disagree with me quoting this, that, or the other. And I, you know, I could probably go back and debate them back and forth, but I mean, it really takes a depth of knowledge for us to have that may or may not be present in our civics courses these days. And I don't know how to combat that, because we do have, you know, tit for tat talking yeah. points all over social media. I don't know even where we begin.
One thing that I think has changed now than even, I would say, I don't know if the line where I would draw it, if I'm just shooting here, is really when social media was more accessible to everybody, and then it really turned into, hey, where's the party at this weekend at college, to how dare you, it's everything's now a political fight. Is disagreements are now attacks. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were disagreeing with me, well, I'll put myself in the role of the group we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. If you disagree with me based on your interpretations, you're attacking my beliefs. You're not attacking the issue, you're attacking me. And if everything's going to get that personal, there's going to be no progress mm-hmm. in this, mm-hmm. is what I fear.
Well, I think we also are living in a time where we're having a overall, as a society, a pliable relationship with the truth. And so it's really hard for us to say what is fact, and to boil down it all becomes into interpretation. And I think we have some losing battles if we're going to have those conversations. And I say losing battles on both sides. I think that both sides or all sides want to be heard. They want to, you know, their comments, their beliefs at the table. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we all have to live. My individual liberties and your individual liberties all need to be respected. And that's the part I think that we're missing here, is that there is becoming a supremacy of certain beliefs. Because, and I think furthermore, the probably even more dangerous is the belief, and I've had this conversation with a number of people, that, well, you know, when the majority rules. So when the majority rules, and we have, you know, this is who the overwhelming opinion of the day is, that's who's elected in Bismarck, that's who's making the laws, so then that is the voice of the people. And why, yes, it is the voice of some people, but we also know that there are things like gerrymandering, money in politics, you know, there's all sorts of reasons why, yes, this is the way democracy works, but also we have to acknowledge some of the flaws in the process. And just saying, like, well, because we've got the most votes to make sure abortion is legal or illegal in this state, yeah. Well, what about? Let's name the rest of the, you know, so, yeah.
Cody, you got more time for me?
Yeah.
Cody Schuler is with the ACLU of North Dakota. I see you texting in to 35270. Join the conversation. That's provided by Adventure RV. We're going to continue this conversation. And, yes, we will talk about public comments at your city commission here in Fargo, but certainly just not isolated to this commission. Why don't we come back here on Afternoons Live? Cody Schuler is my guest. He's with the ACLU of North Dakota. We're talking about the report that came out that shows North Dakota number one when it comes to Christian nationalism. I apologize. I keep wanting to say white nationalism. It's just there. But you understand what I'm talking about. Cody is my guest. We're talking about this subject. I got messages into our text club about this very topic. I'll throw this one at you. Tyler, there is a church in Fargo that has preached that Fargo will be a sanctuary city if Democrats win the election. What happened to the separation of church and state? Your reaction to that?
I'm not sure what the definition of sanctuary city is for that purpose, or what that particular church might be, you know, might be saying. But, you know, in the sense of sanctuary cities has had a lot to do with as I understand it, with immigration mm-hmm. and those who are coming across the border. And I don't have a lot to say about that, other than it is important for us to remember that there is an intersection between public life and politics and religion. And churches are free to talk a lot about the things that are of concern to them in that may intersect with politics. Where really the boundary comes, the IRS has set what can and can't be, and people can review the IRS code if they would like to look at that. But I think there is some concern. I have personally, had experiences where I've heard things said from pulpits and churches mm-hmm. that get very close to that line of endorsing candidates or telling people how to vote in particular policies. And some of that, again, above my pay grade.
Well, yeah, and I would say that this is quite nitpicked as far as the one topic, of which there are very many other examples that lead to this. Not to diminish this, but this is the one that gets the attention, is because they don't agree with the policy. Now, that's up to that individual, but there are numerous examples of other things being preached from the pulpit that have direct into politics, basically saying, vote this way or else. Tyler, I'm old enough to remember the freak out from Christians about towns in Michigan implementing Sharia law, but here it's okay because of Jesus comes in. Quite direct, but I mean, what that person I think is getting at is the fact that other religions that have even gotten close to this, hey, they're going to implement this, there has been public outcry for this. Yet we seem to look the other way, some of us, when it comes to this instance. Any reaction to that?
Well, I think, yes, I think that there is an overt message that has been told. I think it's crept into our national psyche about this idea of a Christian founding. And yes, I think that there are Christian Judeo, and I would say even, you know, any of us who have ever studied religion know that the Abrahamic faiths all have a lot of shared values that are, thou shalt not kill. That is, you know, that is a shared value among these religions that have made it into law in this country. But when we get into the finer points of a lot of things that we're talking about today, we're seeing a lot of theology, a lot of scripture being what is governing the day. And one of my most interesting experiences in this last legislative session was to point out from what I said earlier, you know, pointing out that, you know, that we have these kinds of issues, and then to be questioned about what the right role is.
Cody Schuler is going to be hanging with us through the KFGO news break. We'll come back with more right after this. Keeping them longer than what I asked for, Cody Schuler's with the ACLU of North Dakota. I want to talk about you got a letter to the editor about Let Fargo Speak. Is the title you dubbed it. And it's got to do with the fact that we're debating whether or not the current form of public comment is going to continue, if we're going to change it, if we're going to eliminate it. I want to know how we got to this point. How did we get that public coming in and sharing their concerns, frustrations with their elected officials, whom I want to remind those officials that they are your boss, my opinion. How do we get to this point where they're saying, you know what, this no more, potentially?
Yeah, I think. Well, I think it's so. As I understand it, this has been something that has been in discussion as they've been looking at their policy and their governance rules and how they're going to run meetings, which is a good thing for them to be doing. And as I understand it, they were working with Dr. Schatz as in working groups. Obviously, we have open meeting laws, so they work within the confines of that. And at this last meeting, it was brought forward a new policy proposal, I believe, as I read it, was to split the current comment period into, at the beginning of the meeting, comments that were apt to the agenda, you know, appropriate for the agenda items, and then at the end, sort of more open comment, things that aren't related to the agenda. And so in many ways, not really a big change, just maybe, and we could debate the merits of that change. But what was shared at the meeting was that the city administrator, in giving the presentation of the policy document, stated that feedback was solicited from the city commission, and that unnamed, whether it was city or staff, but unnamed comments were alluded to about possibly removing, you know, them altogether, going back to the drawing board. Commissioner Strand made a very good point about how he felt everything was settled and now things were being reopened. And that led to a conversation, and then him making a motion, which passed, for them to go back into working group to revisit the policy. The reason for our letter to the editor and alerting the public is that, yes, again, merits can be debated, but it looked like there was a policy moving forward, and now they're going to be revisiting it. Since it was mentioned at the meeting that possibly one of those options would be to remove comments altogether, we need to have a conversation about that with our elected officials.
When I got comments about this very subject, actually before we dove into the other news of the day here, I'll read this one to you and get your reaction. Tyler, public comment was originally intended for input about agenda items. It has become out of control, with everything from people running for commission to people using the wrong venue to rally about national issues. Keep the public comment Just keep the topics related to the agenda. Your reaction to that?
I think that this is the most high profile public meeting in our in the city of Fargo, and it happens twice a month. And what, you know, I don't have a time machine to go back. I'm not sure exactly where, you know, if there was an ethos put forward as to why public comments were happening. But yes, this was a place for people to be able to come and talk about what is on their minds. Probably very good to keep things to what's going on the agenda. But furthermore, we have city commissioners who are very open to dialogue and conversation with the public, mm-hmm. But not universal. And right. In the future, there may not be folks who are as open to hearing and dialoguing with the public. And so this is a really important place where messages that may not be heard can be brought before the entire community. Citizens can not only talk to their elected officials, but to their neighbors and in a very public way, in a way that cannot be squelched, to be able to say, this is what's going on and this is what I believe in and what needs to be an agenda item. And no, our city commission doesn't have anything to do with foreign policy, but it also is a place for citizens who have, particularly in this in the most recent comments about the Middle East war, to mm-hmm. say, I'm a citizen here and I'm grieving because I've lost a family member. This is a place to do that and to talk directly to elected officials about that.
Well, look what happened just across the river. I mean, exactly what you're getting at there of people getting that a resolution passed in the city of Moorhead to have that global conflict, mm-hmm. It's in the Middle East, but I mean, like you say, it impacts people right here. To have that be noted there in that city commission, council, whichever it is, across the region. I get people wanting to keep this in a tidy package, but you also have to understand who's the boss. And that's why I keep coming back to. I mean, whether it's a legislative hearing, you allow testimony, you allow for public comment, but sometimes it veers off and you have a chair that's willing to bring it back into focus. Hey, we're here to talk about this. I think that can be done from a mayor or a commission as well, saying, look, we're allowing you to have a piece, an opportunity to come and speak, within reason. I don't know that that is opposed or opposite of what you guys are really getting at either.
No, we already, yeah. In fact, I believe the city commission actually has a responsibility to set parameters for decorum and for that time. And we already have that 30 minutes every other week, max 30 minutes max with 2.5 minutes per person up to 12 speakers. That is already there. That is an hour or less, depending on how many people sign up. That is an hour a month where the citizens can come forward. Remember, the dais is the folks on that dais are the most powerful people in our city as elected officials. The city department heads are sitting there. They're in a space and they can speak for the rest of the meeting without correction, without rebuttal from the public. And here is a time where the citizens can speak again without interruption, without rebuttal, to be able to name what is on the public's minds and hearts.
The last I heard, you were saying that that's kind of back of the drawing board. Now, when it comes to this, that Commissioner Strand got this pulled back and, hey, let's rework this a little bit more. So I think that's a positive first step. Any expectations of when maybe there'll be a decision or just kind of see as it goes here?
I have no idea what the timeline looks like for that, but the ACLU feels that it's important that the public know that this is an issue and that this is being discussed, and for them to be able to raise their voices and to speak.
Very good. Cody, you unpacked a lot for me today. Is there anything else you want to get out before I let you get back to it?
Oh, no, I think we've covered
A lot today in 45 minutes. I asked for 10. Yeah, you gave me 45.
Anytime.
We'll have you back then, all right?
You bet.
Cody Schuller, ACLU. That was easy for me to say on a Monday afternoon of North Dakota. Just giving you the reaction about the Fargo City Commission public comment and, the news that happened earlier today that North Dakota shows the most support for Christian nationalism in the United States. Your reaction, lots of them, the whole rest of the way. You, me, this microphone, your cell phone. Join the conversation through the Adventure RV Text Club, 35270, or the Laney Studio Line at 237-5948. I'm Tyler Axe, your host. Eric Johnson to get you a weather update, then we'll wrap up the second hour of After News Live next.